Hello, I'm Ryan Felsman, Senior Economist at CommSec. I hope everyone is safe and well, particularly our Victorian customers and investors at this difficult time. In the coming week, there are a number of key economic indicators and events to focus on in Australia: the July jobs data, business and consumer confidence surveys, and company earnings results. The week starts on Tuesday when the Commonwealth Bank releases its weekly data on credit and debit card spending. Over the week to July 31, we saw spending lift by 3.2% over the year. Spending in Victoria, however, was down by 5.8% due to the virus impact on consumer spending and behaviour. ANZ and Roy Morgan issue their weekly consumer sentiment data to August the 9th. In the week to August the 2nd, we saw sentiment hit 14-week lows. And the Australian Bureau of Statistics releases weekly payrolls and wages data to July 25 in an entree to the Thursday release of the Labour Force Survey. Weekly payrolls and wages fell by 0.6% and 1.9% respectively earlier in the month. On Tuesday, the NAB Business Survey is released for July. Confidence conditions had improved in June. We saw confidence at +1 and conditions at -7 as the economy reopened with significant policy stimulus to support Aussie businesses and workers. Since then, though, of course, we've seen restrictions tightened and businesses reclosed in Melbourne amid rising concerns about a second wave of virus infection, so we could see the deterioration in confidence and conditions in the month. On Wednesday, Westpac and Melbourne Institute's August Consumer Confidence Survey is released. Consumer views on their finances have been resilient due to wage subsidies, mortgage deferrals and superannuation withdrawals, but sentiment towards the economy is deteriorating as Victoria's COVID-19 crisis deepens, and that could prolong the biggest contraction of national output since the Great Depression. Also on Wednesday, the Wage Price Index is released for the June quarter. Commonwealth Bank Group economists are predicting that wages grew by just 0.3% in the quarter to be 1.9% higher than a year ago. On Thursday, the all-important labour force report for July is issued. Commonwealth Bank Group economists are expecting the unemployment rate to rise to 7.9% from 7.4% in June, and that's on the back of higher workforce participation despite an expected 50,000 jobs either being created or reinstated in the month. On Friday, the Reserve Bank Governor Philip Lowe appears before the House of Representatives Standing Committee on Economics. The final June reading on overseas arrivals and departures is also due. We saw arrivals and departures by tourists down by 98% over the years of June due to the closure of international borders. Overseas this week, US retail spending data is in the spotlight along with China's monthly activity data. The week kicks off in China on Monday with inflation data scheduled for July. Consumer prices are tipped to lift by 2.6% over the year on the back of rising food prices, while producer prices or business inflation could fall by 2.5% when compared with a year ago. And in the United States on Monday, job openings are tipped to ease from 5.4 million to 4.2 million available positions in the month of June. On Tuesday, the National Federation of Independent Business Small Business Optimism Survey and producer price indexes are both released with the weekly Johnson Redbook chain store sales figures. The NFIB Business Optimism Index is expected to ease from 100.6 points in June to 97 points in July. Producer prices are expected to turn positive, up by 0.3% in July after falling by 0.2% in June. On Wednesday in New Zealand, the Reserve Bank of New Zealand announces its interest rate decision. While no change in the overnight cash rate is expected at 0.25%, the Reserve Bank is under increasing pressure to fend off a stronger Kiwi dollar, which is placing further pressure on export earnings. On Wednesday in the United States, the usual weekly data on US mortgage applications from the Mortgage Bankers Association is issued together with the monthly budget statement and inflation data. Headline consumer prices jumped 0.6% in June, the most since 2012, as gasoline costs rebounded, but we're expecting to see headline prices up by 0.3% in July and core prices up by 0.2%. The US monthly budget statement saw a deficit of $864 billion in June, which was a record. We're expecting to see a narrowing of that deficit in the month of July. On Thursday, the weekly data on jobless claims are issued with import and export prices for the month of July. All eyes will be on the jobless claims data. We have seen a deterioration in those numbers over the course of the last few weeks. And of course, there are some concerns now that the US economy, in terms of its recovery, is stalling on the back of a resurgence in those virus infection numbers, particularly in the Sun Belt. And we're expecting to also see import prices up by 0.5% and export prices up by 0.3% in July, weaker than the 1.4% gains for both in June. On Friday in China, the July retail sales, industrial production and fixed asset investment figures are all scheduled. Continued fiscal support, flooding in southern China and the suppression of the virus outbreak in Beijing could influence outcomes. Retail spending is expected to lift by around 0.2% from a year ago. If that does materialise, that would be the first lift in 2020. Industrial activity has gained momentum, with production tipped to lift by 5.1% on a year ago on the back of infrastructure spending and policy stimulus. And on a busy day for data releases on Friday in the United States, retail sales, industrial production, business inventories, non-farm productivity and unit labour cost figures are all scheduled with a preliminary University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index for August. Most focus will be on the July retail spending data. We expect to see sales up by 1.6%, which is just below pre-crisis levels. It remains to be seen whether momentum can be maintained, though, with stimulus measures waning, stores reclosing due to accelerating infection rates and high joblessness. Industrial production is forecast to lift by 3%. Business inventories are expected to fall by 1.2%. And we also anticipate an easing in consumer sentiment in August from 72.5 to 71 points. In the coming week, US companies will continue to report earnings results for the second quarter. There will be a wind down as far as the number of companies reporting, including Occidental Petroleum, Marriott Hotels, Nautilus, Simon Property Group, Macerich, Cisco Systems, Alibaba, JCPenney, and Kraft Heinz. And the reporting season lifts a notch in Australia, and we're expecting to see a bunch of companies release their results this week. On Monday, Aurizon and GPT Group announced their results. On Tuesday, Challenger, James Hardie, Shopping Centres Australasia Property Group announced their results. On Wednesday, Seek, Transurban, Commonwealth Bank, Computershare, Downer EDI and Magellan update the market on their profit numbers. On Thursday, AMP, Treasury Wine Estate, Breville, Telstra, Evolution Mining, AGL Energy, Woodside Petroleum, Goodman Group and QBE Insurance are amongst companies providing their updates. And then on Friday, Baby Bunting, Newcrest Mining and Iluka Resources provide their earnings numbers. Thanks for your time.